For our scripture reading today, we are first going to hear, and I think maybe see, the scripture read in the Egyptian language, and then after that I will read in our English. Psalm 138.
مزمور 138 لداود. أحمدك من كل قلبي، قدام الآلهة أرنم ليك، أسجد في الهيكل المقدس بتاعك وأحمد اسمك على رحمتك وحقك، لأنك عظمت كلمتك فوق كل اسم ليك. في يوم ما ندهتك جاوبتني، شجعتني، عز في نفسي. يحمدك يا رب كل ملوك الأرض عشان سمعوا كلام بقك ويرنموا في طرق الرب، لأن مجد الرب عظيم، لأن الرب عالي ويشوف المتواضع، أما اللي متكبر فيعرفه من بعيد. لو مشيت في وسط الضيق تعيشني، على غضب الأعداء بتوعي تمد إيدك وتنقذني إيدك اليمين. الرب يدافع عني، يا رب رحمتك من غير نهاية، ما تهملش اللي عملته إيديك.
Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You may be bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. God bless you, Randy.
Well, good morning, everyone. I trust that the summer theme of gratitude now that we are about 2 months into this, that we've been thinking a lot each week about what we are grateful for. And I was thinking this week on a very simple level, I am just grateful that I've been at Whitmer Heights almost 2 years now, and I'm just grateful for this community and for the wonderful people that all of you are. And so I just want to just say thank you to you, Whitmer Heights, for being such a loving people, and it's been a really good first 2 years of pastoring, so thank you. I'm reminded of a song that is related to gratitude. It's a song that was written in 1890 by Amos Herr, and it's called I Owe the Lord a Morning Song of Gratitude and Praise. Does anybody here know the history of that song? A couple of hands are coming up here. Well, it's hard to imagine on this 93 degree day, but when Amos wrote this, there was a bad snowstorm outside. And he got up in the morning to get on his horse to go to church, and the snow was so high that he actually was not able to get to church that morning. And yet, in the midst of the beauty of the snow coming down, and even in the frustration of not being able to get to church, Amos wrote this song. I owe the Lord this morning, in the midst of this struggle, a morning song of gratitude and praise. I love that because it's not like he wrote this in the moment of when everything was going good, but he wrote it in the time when there was probably a little bit of hardship going on as well. And yet, he wanted to write a song of gratitude and praise to God. There's a author that I've been reading a little bit this week. His name is Brennan Manning, And he's written the Ragamuffin Gospel. And this book that he wrote is called Ruthless Trust. And the book is all about how the importance of trusting God, even in the midst of our vulnerabilities, in the midst of our own not always knowing how to believe in God. What I found it so interesting is that even though it's a book about trust, he devotes an entire chapter on the importance of gratitude to help to build trust with God. Why did he devote an entire chapter to gratitude? Well, Manning suggests that the person with an abiding spirit of gratitude is the one who is best able to trust God. That the foremost of quality of a trusting disciple, he says and suggests, is gratefulness. The foremost quality of a trusting disciple is gratefulness. Gratefulness arises from this understanding and acceptance that all of life is a gift from God. And when we start with that beginning point, that we really don't deserve any of this, that it's not us that's created this or deserves this or has earned it, but that it's first and foremost a gift of God out of love and grace, that spirit of gratitude helps us to build our trust in a loving God. The grateful heart cries out in the morning, "Thank you, Lord, for the gift of a new day." And it continues to express its gratitude as the day unfolds. I owe the Lord a morning song. Well, in the psalm this morning in 138, we have this spirit of gratefulness. God has answered the psalmist's prayer in verse 2. And quite appropriately, the only response that this psalmist can have is to give thanks to God enthusiastically, including, most likely, it says in verse 2, a visit to the temple. And so I think it's appropriate that just as the psalmist, as a way of expressing his gratitude, went to the temple, so we, Whitmer Heights family and friends, as a way of giving thanks to God and expressing our gratitude, have gathered here this morning at 2270 Old Philadelphia Pike as a way to express our gratitude and thanks to God. We gather here to go out in a spirit of gratefulness. But it's significant that the psalmist doesn't do it alone. The psalmist goes to the temple to be in a community of people thanking God together. And so we do the same. We believe it's important to gather in community to thank God. Clearly, the psalmist gives God the credit for the gift of life. In verse 7, "You give me life, you preserve me, and your right hand delivers me." We might say that the psalmist displays this attitude of gratitude, but the important thing here is that it's not out of this entitlement-oriented, "I earned it" response or posture. It's clearly out of an attitude of, "I didn't deserve any of this, and yet, in your grace and your eternal love, I'm going to thank you for sustaining my every breath and very life." So while this is clearly a praise and a psalm of gratitude, it's not like everything is just fine and dandy and okay for the psalmist here. That the psalmist has not a problem in the world. Actually, it's just the opposite. It's very important to note in this psalm that there is also problems going on. In verse 3, it says that he or she seems still to walk in the midst of trouble. Sorry, in verse 7. And the final line of the psalm is a petition that communicates ongoing needs. "Do not forsake the work of your hands," says the psalmist in verse 8. Do not forsake the work of your hands. There is an ongoing need for God's faithfulness in this person's life. And so it's not only a song of thanksgiving, but it's also a song of petition, expressing thankfulness, but also continuing to pray for deliverance. It's, in some ways we could say, it's a way of saying, thank you, God, but I ask for you to continue to save me today. But let's be honest. Isn't this human life? Isn't this the very human experience that each of us lives each day? That there's never really a time when everything is all right. In short, as people of faith, we're always living with one foot in a spirit of gratefulness and one foot in a spirit of ongoing needs and petitions and crying out to God in our hardship. After all, and even in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, thine is the kingdom of God, and God, may your kingdom continue to come, because it's not fully realized yet. We live in a world of giving thanks and gratitude and also crying out for God to continue to save us. And I think that this is really important, especially this summer, as we think about gratitude, is that it's so easy to sentimentalize this and to just put on this face of, I'm always doing good. Thank you, Jesus. And there's not a safety or a vulnerability to express the times when we're struggling. And even in our church culture, where we put on our Sunday best, I think sometimes it's difficult to name what is hard, what's going on. And so we only name that we're doing good. But if we're going to get at the heart of this psalm and what gratitude means, it means we're going to have to also have a vulnerability in our gratitude that can name the place of struggle, of sin, or whatever it is that is also a part of our gratitude. I was thinking about a phrase that I've heard. And a person says, how are you doing this morning? And you say, oh, I'm doing okay. And the person says, well, what happened to excellent? That's not helpful. Because I'm not excellent. I'm kind of struggling right now. And when you just say what happened to excellent, it doesn't make me feel safe to tell you that I'm actually kind of struggling. That life's hard. And so, at our church, can we hold a spirit of gratitude and naming what we're thankful for, while at the same time being safe to name when we're struggling too? Whether it's a behavior health diagnosis that we have so stigmatized that it doesn't feel safe to talk about our struggle. Well, we can ask for God's mercy and grace to help us there. When the depression is just bringing us down so much that it's so hard to have gratitude, instead of first judging that person, let's have a spirit of understanding and grace for what they're going through. Or as we remember the King family this weekend, as they've lost their dear father, Melvin, how do we hold together the need to express real grief there, and the pain and loss of losing such a beloved person, while also giving thanks that we serve a God where our beginning and our end is in His eternal love and mercy and grace? And how does that give us hope in the midst of naming the pain? We can hold them both together. The point here is that from the very beginning of when God has created this world to now, generation to generation to generation, we are invited to live with gratitude for the gift of life, even amid trouble and opposition, and all the while relying on God. Henry Nouwen, a great author and writer, says these words. To be grateful for the good things that happen in our lives is easy. But to be grateful for all of our lives, the good as well as the bad, and the memories of joy as well as memories of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, the rewards as well as the rejections, that requires hard spiritual work. Still, we are only grateful people, and we can say thank you to all that has brought us the present moment. Going back to Brendan Manning, he also says this, to be grateful for an unanswered prayer, to give thanks in a state of interior dissolution, to trust in the love of God in the face of marvels and difficult circumstances, is to whisper a doxology in darkness. So what might this mean for us today, here as we gather this morning? How can we continue to nurture our own spirit of gratitude among us while recognizing that we are all broken people coming with a lot of pain in different places? First of all, we're doing it. Look at where we have given thanks. Look at what we have named together, what we are grateful for. What if we would name on that poster some of the places where we recognize the pain and the struggle that we're also going through, and giving thanks to God that we live in a community where we can name that together at the same time? What I love about the Psalms is that they have the entire expression of human emotions. From the greatest grief and calling out to God, where are you, to naming the continued trust in God and His saving work. And so one thing that we can do this week, I believe, is to be grateful and to be aware of those struggling around us, to give thanks in the midst of that, and to be contagious people of gratitude. How to be contagious? Well, I loved, Shelby, what you said about the way when people just start to laugh, it just kind of keeps going and going and going, and then all of a sudden you can't stop laughing. And so what if this week we're talking so much about what we're grateful for that it makes the other people around us just can't help but also speak what they're grateful for? One place where this might be a good place to start is to simply slow down and become more aware. Awareness, awareness, awareness. To be aware and alert to the presence of God manifested in a piece of music, a delicious meal, the birds of the air, a daffodil, a kiss, a newborn baby, a sunset. Gratefulness is born of a prayer that first starts in an awareness of slowing down and becoming aware of what's around us. I've named some things here of where I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of loving and being loved. Thank you, Lord, for the garden where I can go and pick fresh vegetables. Thank you, Lord, for the job that I have, for the opportunity to wake up and go to work. Thank you, Lord, for my neighbors, that I get to interact with them and hear their stories. Thank you, Lord, for this Moose Tracks ice cream that is so sweet on my mouth. That's a gift from you, God. Thank you, Lord, for my bed that I can fall asleep on. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for the four seasons, for each day of sunshine, clouds, rain, and snow, and humidity. Thank you, Lord, that even though I am limited in some areas, I can still enjoy the little things. Thank you, Lord, for the little babies in this church that bring new life. Thank you, Lord, that even in the places of my struggle, that even in the times when I don't feel worthy or I feel insecure, that I know I can go back to the Psalms and be reminded of your enduring love that lasts forever. As you name and name and name these things, you just keep thinking of more and more things. That's what's contagious about it. Contagious people, you don't want to be around if you don't want to catch it. But if it's a good thing, then you do want to be around them. The more that we are aware and grateful, the more it will continue to abound. It's like a habit. If you do it enough, it becomes second nature. And so I suggest this morning, and my prayer is this, that at the heart of this contagious gratitude is a recognition, first and foremost, that we don't deserve these things, but that it's first and foremost a gift. It's out of God's love for the world. And if there's one thing in Psalm 100 and Psalm 138 that I love it, that's almost the exact same words. And it's probably the climax of the entire psalm for me in both. And that is this, in verse 8. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. And in Psalm 100, for the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. That is the climax of this. That we, as followers of Jesus, are a part of God's steadfast love that endures forever. And that love is seen most fully in the life of Jesus Christ that we seek to follow. That is the heart of this, God's steadfast love that endures forever. I want to close just with a short little story here. Jacques Maritains. And brilliant man. He wrote 7 essays on metaphysics. If you think about the most brilliant scientists out there, he would be one of them. A deep thinker, way beyond what I could ever imagine. In one of these essays on metaphysics, Maritain tells of one day finding himself, a world-renowned 77-year-old philosopher, skipping across a hilltop in France and shouting to the heavens, "I'm alive! I'm alive!" Having experienced sudden and utterly surprising awareness of the gift of life, the joy of being invested with existence, the privilege of being alive, Jacques Maritain sank down to his knees and whispered words of praise and thanksgiving. The rediscovery of the precious gift of life and existence, often taken for granted, is significant, as this great scientist, philosopher in metaphysics, in all of his amazing study, just had this sudden awareness that at the heart and the beginning of this all is that life is a gift from God. And he couldn't help but sink to his knees and acknowledge it. May we live in that contagious gratitude this week. May we owe the Lord a morning song. One place in our church where we have seen God's faithfulness and where I just want to give thanks is in the life of Mary and her daughter Maria. And there's been some really exciting things happening. God's been working. And I just want to, I asked Mary just to come up and share for a few minutes of what God is doing in her life and where she's giving thanks to God. So Mary, would you come up here and share a little bit?
Okay, I'm not equipped to talk in the front, but I will try. Good morning, everyone. before I start my story, I would like to say thank you. From the bottom of my heart, for my daughter and me, thank you. This church, I don't know where I am at now or where we at now, if it's not because of you all. We have no family here. The only person I have here is Maria. And coming to this church gave me a whole family, a friend. And thank you. Before, it has been a very, very long battle for me with my married life. When I surrendered everything to him, I have asked him to guide me, to show me the way. And when I surrendered to him, I know that it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be very tough because I have nobody. But he never fails. He always provide, and he showed me that's the first week when I was here. That's the time when I left my ex-husband. I left everything behind for me and my daughter. I have nowhere to go. We stayed in that little motel for a while. Actually, for a while. Everybody in here treated me and my daughter like family. I don't even... Being grateful and saying thank you to you all is not enough to say how I feel. It's not just... It has been tough, and it is very, very tough not having anybody. But with your help, everything seems so easy. Everything comes together in place. Coming from that little room, now we have our own place where we can see the creek. It's just like a little sanctuary for us. And first of all, I want to say thank you to Roseanne for thinking of me and my daughter when she knows about that place. For everybody in the church who supported and helped us move. Because I don't know. I can only lift one box to move in that place if I have nobody. And that's the truth. But, if I am given the chance, I know I will be given the chance. I would be the one, that person someday who would lend a hand to somebody who's in need. But for now, I want to say thank you. I know it's never easy, and it's not gonna stop yet, but please continue to pray for me and my daughter for peace and wisdom. I know I always have him, because I never lose my hope and I never lose my faith. I have always been faithful to him. But to Louis and Marvin, to Marilyn and Rance, to Trish and everybody who personally go to me, talk to me every day, thank you. I don't know what to say, but I will be always just be crying here in front. I just want to say thank you. I am beyond grateful, and God bless everyone and for all your help. And I know someday I will be in that position to bless someone's life too. Thank you. I don't know what to say. Just thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Mary. And it's a mutual blessing. You've really blessed us and Maria too. Yeah. And if you don't know, Mary just moved into an apartment at Lancaster Mennonite School in the past couple of weeks here. So
In a week.
Yeah. So giving thanks to God. So let's just have a prayer here to end the sermon, and then we'll have a song of response. God, we do thank you for your faithfulness from all generations, that your enduring love never fails us. And we thank you for your faithfulness to Mary, to Maria, and we pray that you would continue to give her wisdom and give her strength, emotionally and physically, spiritually and mentally, and Maria, as they take each day. We thank you, God, for the way that they've blessed our congregation as well, just through their presence and getting to know them and their story. God, may we go this week with an ability to be grateful and also to be able to name vulnerably and courageously the places of hardship. We thank you, God, that you are a God that can hold all of that together. God, we owe you a morning song of gratitude and praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.